I'm very honored to be sharing with us today. And as Pastor Dan said, we're launching a new series today called Devoted. And so you guys may know, you may have heard of our series for the year is Devoted to Hospitality, which is so cool. We're going to dive into that over the course of the year. And I love that Pastor John's mentioned before of our themes we have each and every single year. Last year, we just wrapped up Hunger for God, and that was incredible. It doesn't mean 2024, we're no longer hungry for God. We're going to keep that a part of our culture. And so obviously this year, it doesn't mean we're going to do hospitality this year and then it's going to end. We're going to be all good. But it's going to be a culture we create. It's going to be people who we become. It's going to be people. We're going to be people that are devoted to these things. And so I'm so blessed today to be speaking on disciples that are devoted to prayer, which is so cool. And I just want to, before I get into my message, I just love to pray. So if you guys can close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the honor and the privileges to be in your house, God. And Lord, I just pray today, God, that you help me, God, that you speak through me directly to your people, God. Lord, that each and every single individual in the room will hear directly from you, Holy Spirit, today, God. Speak to each and every single person exactly where they're at. God, we thank you for the honor and the privilege it is to be in your house today in your mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Lord. Fantastic. Well, I just want to, before I read our scripture for the year, which we got some scripture cards at the back, I encourage you plaster this scripture everywhere because we're going to be talking about it a fair bit, which is cool. But before we get into that, I just wanted to say how much I'm personally excited for this theme this year. And I've been blessed enough to be a part of our church for 10 years now. And we've had many, many themes over the last 10 years. Like I don't remember if it was 2018 or 2019, but it was the year of the party. That was like an awesome year. I say this now, we're about to fast, but we didn't fast that year and we just partied. That's not why I liked it, but just to clarify, I remember these specific series throughout the years. And I believe wholeheartedly that Devoted to Hospitality will be one that I hold personally for the rest of my days. And one thing that I'm excited about is the fact of I've been prone, this is a bit of a I don't even know what we call it. This is a confessional time. Thank you, Pastor Dan. When new people come to church, and obviously this is speaking about being devoted to hospitality of people we're doing church life with, but also opening our homes and our groups to strangers and people we don't know. And I've been prone over the last few years to, I love connect groups. And so for me, that's the moment I get to introduce new people to my home. It's like a perfect opportunity, connect group. But I feel as though the Holy Spirit this year in specific has just said, no, we don't need to wait for connect groups to invite people into our homes. And this year as I mentioned, Ash and I are getting married and we've spoken how keen we are to have just people in our home. We can't wait to just host people in our home as much as we can. And so I just want to encourage you today that over devoted hospitality, grab a hold of our theme. Don't just let it go by over the year and say, yep, it's cool. I went to dinner a few times with some cool people, but let's be people that are devoted to hospitality, which is so cool. And it's a culture we can create. And see, the disciples, and out of Acts 2:42, which is our verse, which you're going to read together, it'll be behind me on the screen. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, which includes the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And so we've just spoken about, you know, this is essentially, this scripture of the year, it comes directly after Peter was speaking to the crowd in the book of Acts, talking to the new church. And in a single day after Peter was speaking, 3,000 people accepted his message and were baptized and added to the church. So that's what the church in revival looks like. 3,000 people in a single meeting. And then after that, so it talks about that. And then the very next verse is Acts 2:42. And this is what those people did. And so us as the church of the 21st century in 2024, if the church in the early days of Acts devoted themselves to these four things, we too need to devote ourselves to these four things, to the word of God, to the people of God, and to the presence of God, leaving the cross at the center the whole time. We committed to these things. The early church devoted themselves to these things. And we devote ourselves to things all the time, no matter what it is, practical, small things. I have an uncle. Who has a crazy uncle? Yeah? If you're not putting up your hand, everybody has a crazy uncle. I have a crazy uncle who's devoted to some crazy things. And one of them, and not many of us know it, but NRL, I'm a big NRL fan. But my uncle is devoted to the Sydney Roosters. To the point is like, I remember as a kid, I'd go to his house and there'd be Sydney Rooster posters everywhere. There'd be Sydney Rooster mugs. His car would have Sydney Rooster stickers. He even has the Sydney Rooster emblem tattooed on his body. I know, crazy. He's my crazy uncle. I love him to bits. But he is devoted to the Sydney Roosters. And as I was thinking and preparing this message, I was like, if we can be devoted to some crazy things like the football, like Netflix series, why can't we be completely devoted to prayer? We need people in our church. We need people in church with a big capital C. We need people in this world that are completely devoted to prayer. So we don't pray because we need to. We don't pray because our leaders ask us to. We don't pray because our connect group leader asks us to. We need to take personal responsibility. We need to devote ourselves. We devote ourselves to prayer because we need God. It's the ultimate truth. And if you're here today and you've never prayed a prayer before, you don't even know what this prayer thing is. And I would love to lead you in a prayer later on. But prayer shouldn't be a thing we just casually do. It shouldn't be something we squeeze into our calendar, squeeze into our schedule. It should be something we are completely and utterly devoted to. Just like my Uncle Jack is devoted to the Roosters, it's like, I want to be devoted to prayer as much as he's devoted to the Roosters. Like, that's the, get maybe, I don't know, which is cool. But we're sitting here today and some of us may be thinking, what is prayer? And obviously it's such a broad thing, but I just wanted to share with us today I'm going to share a bit of Greek with us. We're going to learn a bit of Greek together. In this specific scripture in Acts and in multiple scriptures in the New Testament, the word prayer is, the Greek meaning for prayer is, and I hope I say this right, is prosukeis. Can you guys say prosukeis? That is the Greek word for prayer. And ultimately the word prosukeis translates to prayers addressed to God. So ultimately prayer is communicating with God. See, when Jesus died on that cross, when he died for the cross, when he rose again, the veil was torn. I do that a fair bit. I don't know what happens, so I'm sorry if that happens again. The veil was torn and we instantly got access to God through Jesus. So prayer is, not only can we just talk to God, but we can listen. God can talk back to us and ultimately he can listen as well. Prayer is the communication between God. Prayer is about dependence on God, regardless of his response. I just want to say that again. Prayer is about dependence on God, regardless of his response. And we see this pattern of prayer in the early church. We see it all through the New Testament. But for today, I'd love to read out Acts 4, verse 29 to 31. And it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And verse 31, "After they prayed, the place where they met was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." See, the pattern of this scripture is the church prayed together and God gives what they prayed for. In verse 29, it says that they were praying and they'd consider the threats and they wanted to be able to speak your word with great boldness. The church got together. After they prayed, the place where the meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. They received what they prayed for. Another one, Acts 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And this story in Peter, it was right after King Herod had just thrown Peter into prison. Peter was in prison and the church prayed together. And later in Peter 12, it mentions that an angel appeared to Peter, essentially said to him, "Quick, get up." As he got up, the chains were released off his hands and the angel walked him out of the prison. Prayer is dependence on God, regardless of his response. And I don't know you about it in that area of the church. And you know, if I was back then and all of a sudden Peter was thrown into prison and it says that Peter was sleeping in between two soldiers. He was chained. He was sleeping between two soldiers, but the church prayed that he would be released. It was the day before King Herod was sending him to essentially be executed. It was right after James had just been killed. In the natural, the people of the church would have, and I don't know, obviously they're faithful people because they prayed to God, but in the natural, it seemed a bit sticky. And I feel as though some of us, we get in those situations, we're in sticky situations and we pray, but we need to pray to depend on God regardless of his response. If he answers our prayer, praise Jesus. If he doesn't answer our prayer, praise Jesus. But the church prayed. See, for those that know me, I'm a very blessed man. I have a very large family. I have an awesome family. You'll actually hopefully meet some of them fairly soon. They're going to be coming up to down to Melbourne. But one thing I love about visiting my family is when I get to go with my sister and her husband and my nieces and nephews to do the school drop-off. And it's just one of those things, you're like, Uncle Toby's there, the kids are like freaking out because Uncle Toby's dropping them to school. But one thing I love about a couple of my nieces in particular, and we're talking about prayer today, and there's multiple aspects of prayer. There's communal prayer. So that's the stuff, for instance, our corporate prayer where we pray as a church. There's communal prayer is in when we pray with our family, as we pray with our partners. And then there's also personal prayer is when we go in and we pray by ourselves with Jesus and we have communion with God. But one thing I love about my family is that every single morning when they drive to school, I've done it a few times, they get to what they call the prayer tree. And you hear my little 4, 5, 6-year-old nieces and nephews go, "Mom, it's the prayer tree." And essentially on their drive to school every day, they get to a specific tree and it's the kids' trigger to remind mom that we need to pray for today. And we sit there and it's so cute. They just pray for the day at school. They pray for, you know, that they all have fun and school and all that kind of thing. But they just pray for protection. They pray for just a big blanket prayer over the day. And they do that every single day. It doesn't matter what the day was before. It doesn't matter what was on the day today. They pray to be dependent on God regardless of his response. See, if my three little nieces and nephews pray with their mother every morning on the way to work, regardless of what happened, and it even challenged me as an adult to, when I pray on the way to work, can I just pray? If my little 4 and 5-year-old niece and nephew can do it, why can't I? Just the blanket prayer. And it challenged me to have communion, to commune with others, to have communal prayers. And we're so blessed that we're able to do that. So we know what prayer is. It's communicating with God. But why should we pray? In Acts 4, verse 31, it says, "After they prayed, the scripture we just read, and after the place where meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and worked and spoke with the word of God boldly." God is moved by the prayers of his people. See, when I was moving to Melbourne, I just moved out of the apartment, the house I was living in, and I moved into an apartment literally like 2 months before I decided to move to Melbourne. And I was like, it was a nice apartment. It was like on the water. It was awesome. But when I decided to move to Melbourne, I was like, wait a minute, I've now got like this 12-month lease on my shoulders and I just need to cancel it essentially because I'm no longer living here. And it was right after I just quit my job. I just, you know, the money stopped coming in. I had a bit of savings there to last me till I move. But I was, in that moment, I was like, oh my goodness, there's this 12-month contract essentially on my shoulders that I need to fix before I leave. And I remember in this time I had alone prayers. You know, I'd have moments in my quiet time where I'd pray, God, this, you know, I pray that someone will take this lease off me. And this was before the crazy rental strike thing. And this was when it was hard. Like, it was easy to get into a rental. You weren't scavenging for rentals. So I was like, God, if someone needs to take this from me, because I essentially can't afford to pay for rent in Melbourne and the Sunshine Coast at the same time. And that was the awesome thing about prayer, communicating with God. I didn't know what to do. Of course, I had to do practical things as well, but I didn't know exactly what to do. I could pray to God in my quiet place. But then I also had communal prayers. I got to go to Connect Group and things like that and share with my Connect Group real worries. And I was like, hey guys, like, obviously, you know, I'm moving, but I've just signed this lease and I don't really want to pay rent when I'm not living here. And it was a bit of a burden on me. But just as we've heard examples in the early church of Acts and seeing the result of prayer. And in that moment, I'm so grateful that God rocked up and literally within a week, there was someone that took over the lease. They paid for, I didn't have to get a bond clean. I didn't have to do any of that because I was there for 2 months. But God showed up as I prayed and as I communally prayed with my Connect group. But the point of prayer is not to get things from God. The point of prayer is to get closer to God. Because ultimately, sometimes we pray prayers that don't get answered. And I will talk about this shortly. But as I said, prayer is about communing with God. Regardless of his response, if it happens, if it doesn't happen, sometimes the complete opposite happens. We still need to commune, we still need to pray, and we still need to seek Jesus in all he does. Psalm 55 verse 17 says, "Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." See, sometimes we, and you may, and I know I've done this before, and you may feel like this, but sometimes I feel as we overcomplicate prayer. Sometimes we use it as an excuse. You go, oh, I can't pray those big eloquent prayers that, you know, those people pray that are reciting verses of the Bible in books that I forgot were even in the Bible. There's those eloquent prayers and they can pray them and they're too good. So I'm just not going to pray because I can't do that. We overcomplicate it. But just begin, converse, commune with the Holy Spirit. He wants to speak with us. It's communication. It's a relationship with Jesus. A relationship doesn't have one person talking all the time. And if it does, it's probably not a very fruitful relationship. We need to talk to God. He hears us. We need to allow God to speak to us, and we need to listen to Him. So if we know what prayer is and why we do it, I just want to share today four super quick practical steps to help us have a devoted prayer life. And as I mentioned before, this goes across both areas. This goes across corporate prayer meetings when we're communing with others, and it also goes personal prayer. This covers both of them. So our first one, if you're taking notes today, is we need to pray with consistency. So the truth is, when we pray, we need to schedule regular prayer times. And I know I'm going to sound crazy, but as I said, we don't squeeze prayer into our schedules when it suits us. We need to be people that are devoted to prayer. We need to be wholeheartedly after seeking our Father. We need to make prayer a priority, whatever in areas of life that is, setting aside dedicated moments to commune with God. See, there's a need for consistent and persistent prayer. And Jesus taught on this in the New Testament. It says in Luke 18, verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And just for the sake of time, I want you to go back in even this week, read Luke 18, and it's a parable Jesus shares to encourage us to always pray and never give up. See, I'm so blessed to be in a church, and I hope you guys are too, that believes in the power of prayer. We are See-Through Powerhouse. We believe in the power of prayer. Even right now, you may not even know it, but we have an intercessory team that prays every single Sunday. They pray during the week. They pray even right now. There's someone in our intercessory team praying for the service right now. Can we just give a shout for our intercessory prayer team, led by the wonderful Deb Chan? There's someone seeking God in this service right now. Things like revival prayer meeting. Our church puts on these things not just to fill a calendar. We put on these things to help you draw closer to Jesus. I'm so blessed that we have a church that prioritizes prayer. This Tuesday night, I want to encourage us at 6:30. We're in the middle of our prayer and fast. And so we're actually going to have a revival prayer for an hour. It's going to start at 6:30. It's going to go to 7:30. And trust me, I say an hour and people go, oh, that's such a long time. I encourage you, when you come, you will feel as though the time goes like this. It goes so quick, but you probably want to stay longer, and I'm sure you can in the car park after we lock up. But this Tuesday, I'm so blessed that our church prioritizes prayer meetings, that we prioritize the power of prayer, because we need to be disciples that are devoted to prayer. We don't just squeeze it in. We don't just pray on a Sunday morning. We don't just pray here at church. We are devoted to prayer. It's a consistent thing. And for me personally, then, and it may be for you, it may look different, but I encourage you that for me personally, this looks like what we call a quiet time. This is basically when we, each and every single morning, sometimes at night, sometimes during the morning, we take time aside to commune and to speak, to read the word, and to pray and with Jesus. So with me, I just thought a super quick couple of share things I'd like to share to help you guys is my quiet time. And for me and for you, it doesn't matter. And I don't want you to be super overwhelmed like Martin Luther King that prays for 4 hours a day. We don't need to be, well, obviously you can be like that if you can, because that's awesome. But don't be overwhelmed by it's so long. I have to pray for an hour. I have to pray for 30 minutes. The goal of prayer isn't to tick a box, I prayed for an hour today. Sometimes you go through seasons and you'll set a challenge for yourself and you'll set a goal for yourself, and that's completely fine. But the goal isn't to tick a box if I prayed this amount of time. The goal is to just draw closer to Jesus. Whether that's 5 minutes a day, whether that's a 30-second prayer with your children in the morning, whether that's 30 minutes a night after the kids have gone to bed. So for me personally, I split my quiet time into three sections, and I'd love to just quickly share those with you today. If I split into three, if I pray to God for 30 minutes, I'll do 10 minutes each. If I pray for 15, it'll be 5 minutes each, and et cetera, et cetera. But the first part is I love to just speak in tongues. And, you know, we're a Pentecostal church. We believe in speaking in tongues. And you know, speaking in tongues, it edifies ourselves. It speaks mysteries to God. And often when I pray and I'm stuck on the English and I'm just like, oh, Lord, I don't know what to pray anymore. That's the awesome thing about praying in tongues, is that it speaks mysteries. It edifies ourselves. So the first third, I'll just speak in tongues. The second third is I'll just receive from God. I'll just be quiet. I'll sit, I'll soak, I'll listen. And then the last is what we call intercessory prayer. So this is a moment where I pray for my needs. I pray for my family's needs. I pray for my fiance. I pray for my connect group, any sphere in my life. And so I just want to encourage you guys that when you have your quiet time, split it into three. One, speak in tongues, sit and wait in God, and then intercessory prayer. Do pray for your spheres of life. So what can this look like for you? It's not about the time. It's about drawing closer to God. So that's the first one. We need to pray with consistency. Our second is we need to pray with unity. So corporate prayer's impact. It's cool because when we pray corporately as a church, and it happens all the time, we have, even this morning during worship, when we pray corporately together on revival prayers, on dream team rallies, during the week we have teams that pray. We have so many teams that pray. There's an anointing and there's a blessing where unity is. We don't need to just pray with our family for the things, for the things we're believing for. But we need to pray with our church family for the things our church are believing for. And that's why, as Pastor Dan mentioned before, we have our 10 days of prayer and fasting coming up tomorrow. Come on, we're all excited for the fast. And so I want to encourage, there's things, and you'll see on the website, which we'll share later on, of things we're believing for, things we're praying for. And in moments of revival prayer, of course, it's a moment to pray for things we're believing for. But it's a moment for us to stand as sons and daughters of the house and believe for things for this church. There is anointing and there is blessing when we speak agreement in prayer and when there's unity in prayer. In Matthew 18, verse 19 to 20, it says, again, I truly tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst. There is an anointing. There is power when people stand in agreement. Obviously, we pray by ourselves, that's awesome. But when we pray and we agree with people, there is power. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am with them, says Jesus. Unity, super quick point. There just needs to be unity when we pray. Can you imagine having a conversation with someone and you want it to be fruitful, but you completely disagree with what they say? It's probably not going to go too well. There won't be a lot of agreement in it. But when we pray, sometimes, you know, we believe for things and sometimes it may be completely out of our rank. Sometimes it's completely out of our control. But we can just stand with brothers and sisters, agree with them that God will show up, that God will do his thing, that God has every situation under control. We need to pray with unity. Our third point, this one's super quick and simple as well. We need to pray with expectation. So our third point, expectation. Psalm 5 verse 3 says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. And wait expectantly. Trust in God's faithfulness. Sometimes it's harder. Sometimes it's easier said than done. But approach prayer with expectation. Yes, there'll be times where we need to do things to have things come to pass, where we need to be expectant that prayer will come to pass. We need to partner with God and do those kinds of things. Like, for instance, in this season, Ash and I were in a season of saving for a wedding, which is lots of fun, which is in itself. But when we bring our requests to God, of course we need to do practical things like good stewardship to do those. But we're expectant that what we pray for will come to pass. We believe God is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who provides. But it doesn't give us permission to go out and spend up big on takeaway and go on clothes shopping and doing all that kind of stuff. We don't pray for favor and then go and spend all our money on things we don't need. There's stewardship. We need to partner with God when we say these prayers, when we ask these prayers. See, the heart of knowing that God, we know you want to bless us. You know you want to provide for us. It's motivation for me to be expectant, to know that God wants to bless you. It's not, Lord, and when we pray these prayers, it's not, Lord, if you want to bless us, feel free. Or thinking, oh, it's a bit much, but if you want to do it, go for gold. God won't do it. It's, Lord, I know you want to bless us. Be expectant with your requests to God. Be expectant. Commune with Jesus, regardless of his response, but be expectant. And the last point in point four for how to live a devoted prayer life, and this one is overcoming prayer blockages. And I just want to share some quick things real quick that helps us to, because obviously there are going to be prayer blockages in life. See, there's sometimes there's challenges in maintaining a devoted prayer life. Sometimes there's challenges in just praying in total, praying in normal. And I believe there's many, and I really pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to us today and what blocks you from your devoted prayer life. But two main ones that I'd like to share today is the first is the simple fact of busyness. I won't ask for a raise of hands. I won't ask for people that go through this. But who often, this is rhetorical, you don't have to answer. Who often excuses ourselves because we're praying and we don't pray and we often have the excuse, I ran out of time. Oh, I slept in this morning. Whoops. I fell asleep early. Obviously, I'm not a parent. I don't know if, I'm assuming kids add a lot of time to you. And so I'm assuming, no, I know. Kids will definitely add a lot of time, but we're not here to make excuses. We need to recognize we need to be people and disciples that are devoted to prayer. Whether that's not, we need to wake up 15 minutes earlier. Or Pastor Danielle, our senior pastor, once said this in a meeting. I don't know when exactly it was. And she said, the simple fact of sleeping at the beginning. And I was like, what? Sleeping at the beginning? And she basically said, yeah, sleeping at the front. I was like, what? And she's like, go to bed earlier. And I was like, that's brilliant. Who doesn't love a good sleep-in? If you go to bed 15 minutes early, it's equivalent to having a 15-minute sleep-in. Hacks. That's boy math. That's good. So I want to encourage us today. We don't pray to suit our schedule. We don't pray to squeeze into our schedule. We make prayer a priority. And the second thing that can stop us from another blockage, I believe, is being let down by unanswered prayers. Thinking, what's the point? I prayed for this and nothing happened. I prayed for this and the opposite happened. What's the point? There's no point to pray. In Psalm 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. See, we don't need to speak these eloquent prayers I was mentioning before. Yes, speaking scripture, speaking truth over us is so important, and I encourage you to get scriptures to speak over yourself, but we don't need to have eloquent prayers every time. We don't need to pray the right thing. We just need to commune with God. We just need to speak to him. We don't need to over-articulate things because God knows exactly what we're going through. We need to be you, be real, and believe. Believe in the Father that you're praying to. See, there'll be days in life and seasons of life where I like to call them breath prayers. And I've just got a couple to explain today. And these prayers are prayed when you don't know what else to pray. When you are let down by some things, when you are let down by unanswered prayers, by things not going your way, things not going the way you intended. A season of breath prayers. They can go something like, God, I know you're with me. And that's all. God, help me in this moment. Why God? That's a powerful breath prayer. Why God? God, strengthen me. God, move. They are powerful breath prayers. So if the early church devoted themselves to four things, we need today devote ourselves to the same four things. We devote ourselves to prayer because we need God. Prayer is about dependence on God regardless of his response. God is moved by the prayers of his people. We need to pray consistently. We need to pray with unity. We need to pray with expectation. And we need to overcome prayer blockages. Be you, be real and believe. Believe in the Father that you're praying to. And I just want to take a quick moment now. If you are sitting here today and all this prayer talk, you're a bit confused and you may have never even prayed a prayer before. Or maybe it's been a while since you've prayed a prayer. And ultimately, as we have conversation with God, it's a relationship with God. As I mentioned, in a relationship, not one person talks, it's two people. And maybe you're sitting here today and you aren't in relationship with Jesus. It would be my greatest honor and privilege to lead you in a prayer today, inviting God into your life. See, the truth is, friend, that when I was a young teen, I grew up in church every now and then, but I moved away and I stopped going to church and I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. I was just doing things of the world. And I remember as a 14-year-old kid, I walked into a youth ministry called C3 Powerhouse. And I was met by some incredible people that I didn't do life with good people. And so to meet these incredible people, I was like, something's going on here. Who are these? Why are they so nice to me? but it was just the peace and the love of God that I felt in that room as a youth, as a teenager. And so today, and in that day, I prayed a prayer accepting Jesus into my heart and inviting him into my life. And I would love to do that for us today, for anyone in this room. See, the truth is I was filled with fear. I was filled with anger as a young kid. And I was filled with disappointment for a lot of different areas in my life. But the moment I entered God into my life, the moment I let him into my soul, my life now has been filled with joy. It's been filled with peace. It's been filled with love. It's been filled with guidance. It's been filled with provision, all because Jesus loves me so much. And I know he loves you so much. So can I just get all of us to close our eyes really quickly? I believe there's some of us here today that may be in relationship with God, that may not be. And I believe there's three types of people. One is that you've never said yes to Jesus before. That this can all be new to you. The second is you once walked with God, but you've walked away. You've been doing your own thing. And the third is just you're not sure that you're going to heaven. That if anything was to happen to you, you'd be unsure and you wouldn't know what's going on. I would love for you to leave today with the assurance that you're going to heaven. Jesus loves you so much. Nothing we can do, nothing we have to do can separate us from the love of Jesus. So if you're sitting there in the room today and you're one of those three people, you may have no relationship with God, you may have walked away, or you just need the assurance you're going to heaven. Can I ask you to be really bold and just raise your hand really quickly? I'll just acknowledge it. I'd love to pray a prayer with you. And then I'll ask you to pop it down. I won't get you at the front. I won't get you to do anything. And we just close out our eyes for respect. But if you're sitting here today, thank you. I see that hand. If you're sitting here today and you know that you're not right with God, friend, I can tell you it was the best decision I ever made. Following Jesus. The very first step to being devoted to prayer is to being in relationship with Jesus. So just looking across this room once more, if that's you and you'd love to give your heart to God this morning, can you just raise your hand really quickly, just once so I can see it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Again, everyone just with your eyes closed, we're going to repeat a prayer after me. And this person that raised your hand, I just want you to pray this directly to God. Directly to God. Everyone repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for me and my sin. I'm sorry for living life my own way. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm set free. I thank you that I'm born again. And I thank you that I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just let me quickly pray for this person. Yes, Lord, I thank you so much for this incredible individual, God. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, as they've reached out to you today, God, Lord, I pray that you meet them exactly where they're at right now. God, I pray that you help them be a disciple that's devoted to you, Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you surround them by incredible, faithful people to do life with Jesus. God, I pray that you encourage them to not just make a decision today, God, but to go on a discipleship journey, to be transformed by the sanctification grace, the gift that you give us, Jesus. God, we honor you and we glorify your name and your mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a shout of praise. It's so good. The best decision you'll ever make. But hey, before I finish up and before I hand back to Pastor Ebony, I just want to take a moment really quick to have a response to be devoted to prayer. And what better time at the moment as we're starting our 10 days of prayer and fasting tomorrow. And so I just want to, can we all just close our eyes really quickly just across the room, just out of respect for everyone. But if you're sitting in the room today and you know that your prayer life isn't, you're not super devoted to your prayer life at the moment, it's been something you've been squeezing into the schedule that you do whenever you've got a spare time. But you've recognized this morning that you want to be devoted to prayer. There's two types of people. One, if that's you, I'd love for you to do that. But the second is, if you're sitting here today and you want to be a part of our church-wide prayer and fast. You may have never done a prayer and fast before. Of course, we're encouraging our members to participate in a Daniel fast, and we'll have some information about that later. But if you want to be a part of the fast and fast whatever that looks like in going without something to draw closer to God, but the importance of prayer and fasting is as well as the prayer. And you're committing for the next 10 days to say, yeah, I'm committing every single day I will pray. Whether that'll be a 30-second prayer when you go to work, whether that's a 5-minute prayer, whether you want to pray for an hour. But you're standing today and you're saying, Lord, I'm committing. Saying, God, sign me up. Can you just do something? Can you just raise your hand right now if that's either you? If you, one, you're happy to commit to pray for the next 10 days, or secondly, you just know that you need to be more devoted to your prayer life. That it shouldn't just be a part of your calendar, that it shouldn't just be something you squeeze in. It's something, a culture, a thing you do and a person you become. You are a disciple who prays. Thank you, G. Can I just pray for those hands raised really quickly? Thank you, Lord, for every single hand raised in the room right now. God, we thank you over these next 10 days, Jesus. Father, we pray for the miraculous to come to pass in this prayer and fast. Lord, we pray in specific over things that have been prayed for a very long time, God. Lord, we pray that this fast, Lord, that something will shift in the supernatural, Lord. God, we pray through it all, Lord. Even regardless of your response, Jesus, people will be devoted to prayer. People will be wholeheartedly after seeking you, Jesus, seeking your face, knocking the door, seeking you and finding you, Holy Spirit. God, I pray for just a motivation to be in each and every single one of our hearts to chase after Jesus, to chase after prayer, to prioritize prayer, to be expectant when we pray, to pray in unity, to pray in all those areas, Jesus. To pray with expectation, to know that you've got our back. To know that you've got our back and you know every single situation. What the enemy has turned for what the enemy intended for evil, that you will turn to good, Jesus. God, we devote ourselves to you this morning. We honor your name, we glorify your name, Jesus. Have your way this fast, Lord. Protect us, guide us. Allow us to do life with you, Jesus. In your mighty name, and everybody said, amen, amen. So good, so good. Well, thank you so much, church, for letting me share today. As I said, I don't take this for granted. If you told me 4 years ago when we planted this church, when this location, sorry, and you told me that Tobias Couch, when you'll be preaching in our fourth birthday, I would have told you were nuts. But I just want to take a moment to thank you for letting me speak to you today, and I pray that it has encouraged and helped you in your devoted to prayer life.